And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians for me, 2 Corinthians. And I want you to go to chapter 4, and then I want you to go to chapter 11. We've been in the series. We started a series last week. So all of you that are watching online, you haven't heard it yet, go jump on and get on the app and just start listening to it. Because the message is not as much geared to those of you in this room that may not know Jesus Christ yet as it is geared to people like me who've known Jesus a long time. You're going to discover that we're talking about pitfalls that on your journey toward seeing Jesus for eternity, heaven, because how many know this place is temporal? Okay, it's temporal. That Satan will send pitfalls to the believer to get them to turn away from God to end up in the same destruction he will experience for eternity. But what Satan did was, is that we see, just like Eve, what God wants the believer to do is to doubt God's direction for you, which is, first of all, the Word of God. If you want to know what's God's will for my life, first thing you do is start reading the Word of God, and you'll find out exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Aren't you glad God didn't complicate it? He'll show you exactly what you need to be doing. But if you're not reading it, you're probably not going the right direction. You're probably not going the right direction. I don't care if you say you're a Christian or not. Because what we're having in the end times is, watch this, is we talked about how 2021 is going to be a year of great distinction. You'll see it even in your own family. If your husband calls himself a Christian, your wife calls herself a Christian, your uncle calls himself a Christian, but you're going to see some distinction in 2021 within the body of Christ, an exposure of it, where there's going to be people who carry the brand of Christian are going to go more and identify with the sin culture of the world. They're going to buy into it. Let me tell you how they'll buy into it. Here's what's happening right now. So be very careful as believers, would you? Can I help you out on something? You need to have clear definition of terms, because here's what's happened. What Satan does is he takes a term out of the Bible or Christian language, then they take that term, redefine it, and then we suck into it because it's a Christian term. So when you tell me you're a Christian, it doesn't mean much to me anymore. Because it's become like Nike. It becomes a brand in American culture. What Jesus is looking for is not the brand of Christianity, but your behavior like the Christ and your belief like the Christ. This is why you gotta be really grounded in the Word of God. Study the doctrine of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, giving yourself to, like, showing up, getting up in the morning and listening to the Word of God. And not just this, but beyond that, things that we have in church, small groups, things of that nature that get you grounded in the Word of God. Because what's going to happen, there's going to be more of an aligning to that. And some of you are going to be shocked with the people that are what you put as superstars, if I could use that word, in Christendom that teach and preach that will go that way. And you're going to be shocked. You cannot just go by brand anymore. You must see, do they have belief and behavior of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Watch out for it. Just take my word for it. I am warning you strong. It's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. But at the same time, there's going to be this hunger within the Jesus followers for more of a simplistic devotion to Jesus, that you will go deeper in your relationship and love of Jesus Christ. And as a result, your love for him is gonna have greater compassion, even for those who resist you and mock you, even those who bear the name of Christian, that call you a hater. Because I'm watching even stuff now where I'm watching Christians in the name of Jesus get more hostile than I've ever seen before. You're not helping Jesus, I'm just gonna tell you. The closer you get to him, he will give you such strategy. He will give you such ability to have influence in a way you never thought you could have before. But your commitment and your deep devotion will drain you deeper into his compassion, deeper into his love, and even, yes, deeper into the conviction and the character of Christ. But you got to watch, because here's how Satan's going to do it. He's going to change God's direction of the word in your life. He did it with Eve. He just took one word and turned it from will to won't. God said, we will die. He said, you won't die. One word, and he starts twisting it. And then misapplying the word of God. That's what he did through Jesus. So if Satan tried to get Jesus to misapply the word, and he accurately quoted it. Misapply, that's what's happening now, the misapplication of the word. What makes you think you're so smart that you don't think it's happening to you when Satan tried to do it to the Son of God, God himself with skin on? What makes you think you're exempt from that? Or me? Better wise up and get in the word. You're gonna head off to a university or college, young person, you better get it together. You better get grounded in that word because he's coming after you to twist it and misapply it. Boy, y'all have gotten quiet. It's true. And then he starts moving not only God's direction for your life, but God's affection for your life. Where somehow God is cruel and mean. When in fact I showed you that actually when God said you're no longer allowed into the garden was to keep them from eating of the tree of life, because then they would have lived in a fallen state for eternity, never to be redeemed and never have fellowship with God, because that's what God really wants from me. He just wants Sam and he just wants you, believe it or not. I know you think you're freaking out because, you know, I'm such a bad heathen, and if you just knew that I torched up a joint before I came into this church today, just because I need it to relax and calm down, God wouldn't want me. I'm telling you something. He loves you so much. He'll help you with that. He'll help you with that. Some of you are going, I can't believe you said it. I can't believe you don't know that there are people that are walking in that are hurting. I know you still think, why does he still not have socks on this week? Where was I? Stop it. See, when I get out of the anointing, I mess up. Amen? I got to stop that. But I'm telling you very clearly, everyone, watch this. He begins to turn the affection, because what he actually did from getting to meet the tree of life, it gave his ultimate plan to still have redemption so that you would not live eternally. Listen, you are immortal, but where you spend it will determine what you are, because one day you will have it for life, eternity in heaven or a real hell. It is a reality. So Jesus made a way that we would not live in an eternal state of lostness. Just think, I'm gonna say it again. Just think of a Charles Manson. Just think of an Adolf Hitler with immortality and never to die. Just think of it. You think we got sickness and disease? You think we got that? Think of it, never ending, never cure, but you live in pain for eternity. Think about that. Now you see the kindness of God to actually keep them out of that garden, because he says, I've got a plan for eternity, but they've got to choose that plan for eternity. How many thank God God really does love you, that we're not eternally separated from him? That way the judgment does come on the people who deserve the judgment, who turn their back on God. Then they get the judgment if they don't repent. How many thank God God is really kind? So you say, okay, Pastor, what is he doing? Let's go to the scriptures. I just wanted to back up and just talk about that just a little bit so I can get a little context for today. So here's what the Apostle Paul says. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. And here's what he says. Now look what he says, all right? He says, Satan, who is the god of this world, that means this temporal world, he's trying to be God, okay? God of this world has blinded the what, everybody? Would everybody say that next word with me? At home, say it is with me. Has blinded the what? The what? Minds of those who do not believe. So first of all, the apostle is telling you there's a separation here. I'm telling you they've actually been blinded. So the people that you are getting so mad and so angry at do not know they cannot see. So for you to get hostile with them is never gonna change them. He says they are blinded by Satan himself and they cannot see. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They do not understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So Satan is trying to blind them, but how does he do it? Through their minds. Now I want you to drop down, because now he's talking about you and Pastor Sam. Let's go to verse 11. Just like he spoke to the Corinthian church, who was steeped in such such gross sin and immorality, but they get saved and born again. And then he also says, I want to present you as pure virgins. Don't you love when God can take someone that's steeped in some of the most gross, immoral, sexual sin and spiritual sin, changes them, they have a revival, and he says, now I want to present you as a pure virgin before God. Somebody needs to hear this in this room. Somebody needs to hear this online. You think you're so messed up, so dysfunctional, so sexually dysfunctional, so messed up that God can never correct it. I'm telling you, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, God says, I brought back such innocence to people whom Satan had so tormented and messed up, and he said, I did it with you, Corinthians, that God can present you as a pure, he re-virginized your mind, your spirit, and who you are. How many believe God can do that, bring back all the innocence and back all the purity to your life? Somebody need to hear that, because you've been held hostage by what you did back when you were serving in the military. God wants to bring it out and show you, I can bring back that purity, sir. I can bring that purity. Boy, isn't God good? So now let's talk to you and Pastor Sam, because this is who you talk to. Let's go to chapter 11 and verse 3. But now the apostle says, but I am afraid. Everybody say afraid. Just as Eve was deceived. This is not a person that is Satan. This is the one that walked with God in the cool of the day, absolutely perfect and perfected. Naked before God and didn't know they were naked. Who was deceived by the serpent's cunning. Your what, everybody? Your what? Your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. The point is, as we get closer to the return of Jesus in 2021, you're going to see it even more. You're going to see people who you thought were the best and the greatest get pulled away to more identify with the culture of sin. But let me show you something else. There are going to be people that you never thought got in such pure devotion that are going to get more hungry and passionate for Jesus, and it's going to reflect in their life, their witness, and the glory of God coming out of them. And there are going to be some people you never thought in the movie industry, the political realms, you're gonna find people who are so messed up, jacked up, you're gonna find people that are in your own family that God is gonna bring them into such pure devotion, you're gonna sit back and go, that just can't be. So get ready. Just as much as there's gonna be some that you think are so depraved, so lost, and you might even be in here today so depraved, you wait 3 months and a year from now, you're gonna be one of those that is so passionate, on fire, so full of Jesus, God's gonna change you. I'm telling you that. You're gonna get shocked at who God takes that way. It's gonna freak you out who God's gonna take that way. I'm serious. Some of you are gonna go, there is no way. Just watch. Just watch. Because they're really hungry for something. That's why they're going that way. Oh my goodness. He said, your minds may be somehow led astray from the pure, sincere devotion. So what is this? It's not about, you know, 3 great days of outpouring of the Spirit of God. It is your simple, daily love and devotion and affection for Jesus that's going to keep you. Now, the Apostle Paul says this to Pastor Sam and to believers, all of us tongue talkers and those that you've been raised in church so long, you've gone through confirmation classes and all that other good stuff, and you've been dipped, you've been dunked, you've been sprinkled, splashed, whatever you had. You need to be water baptized, though. Go down. He's talking to you. And the apostle says this. Now, out there in the world, they're just blind. They can't see it. But you're going to have just enough of Jesus to not know you're being deceived. And it's going to be through your mind. And I'm afraid of this. Now look, when the Apostle Paul tells me he's afraid, I'm listening to the Apostle Paul. You talk about a man of faith and he invokes the word, I'm in fear over this for you. You and I better pay attention. Because when he says he's afraid of this, he knows that this is so sly, so cunning, so deceptive that you won't even know you're being sucked in. Satan will use the same terms, but totally change the definitions. You just watch it. It's being used for everything you can imagine. Just put it out there. It's happening right now. And we're being deceived. And he said, I'm afraid of this. Now look, why, if this guy says he's afraid, I'm gonna pay attention to him. This guy has been beaten and left at the city for dead. He says, the shadow of a guillotine is gonna chop his head off. He's been beat with whips, incarcerated in more prisons, and you haven't even visited one in your lifetime. He's been beat up, he's been mocked, they've thrown him down, they thought he was dead, they left him. This guy ought to be afraid of death, but he says, in fact, I welcome death. In fact, he says, I'm so looking forward to be with Jesus Christ, I'm still fighting over whether I need to be with you or be with him, because I'd rather be with him than hang out with you. That's how consumed he was with the devotion of Jesus Christ, that he feared nothing, not even being killed or even dying. He just was not afraid. Now, if a cat like this can get beat up, left for dead, have the shadow of a guillotine get ready to chop his head off, and this cat says he's afraid, this is not a wimp. This man is full of faith. If he's afraid, I want to know what you're afraid of. And here's what he's afraid. He said, Sam, I'm afraid that you're not going to know you're being deceived and you're being sucked away. How many believe we need to listen? We need to listen. So he says, well, how does this seem to happen? So I want to take this because he keeps using this mind. And I want to show you that Paul was not just this guy about spiritual things. He was very much understanding of the psyche of how God created you. So if I could just take you for a moment, I want to show you how does this occur in the believer. So just stay with me, stay alert, look alert. Get your notepads, pens out. Okay, y'all ready? Okay, here we go. You guys get to have another cup of coffee. We don't get nothing in here. So let me show you, first of all, the pathway of possession here. Do you know that God has a path? If I could just say, there's this pathway that he takes of taking our lives, growing us in our salvation. If I call it the pathway of possession of your life that Jesus does. He's progressively doing things in my life. So let's go to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. So everybody follow. If you don't have a Bible, look up on the screen. So this is Jesus talking, and here's what he said. Somebody asked him, what's the greatest and most important commandment? If you could just leave us one thing, what is it? You remember, God only gave Eve two verses and she messed it up? Here's what Jesus says. Okay, I'll put it to you, two things. He says, love the Lord your God with all your what? Say it out loud, would you join me? With all your what? Heart. And with all your what? Soul. Everybody at home. And with all your what? Mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. He said, if I could just cut it down to this, devotion with your heart, your love for God, your soul, your conscience, and your mind, he said. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, and pay attention to the very first one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. I don't know if Jesus was intending this, but there is a progression that is happening here. The heart is your inward affection. The soul is that consciousness, that conscience that you have that gets transformed when you're saved. Now, let me ask you, let me show you. When you got saved, did you go, and you remember the first time you came to the Lord, and you go, oh God, did you go, oh God, save my mind? He said, no, Lord, save my heart and soul. Save my heart, God. Take my heart. Take my love. What's the heart? It is your inward affection, your love, your devotion for Christ. Ready? The soul is that conscience. Something happens. You're transformed by the blood of Jesus when you ask Jesus, and you are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit that is regenerating your spirit to be renewed, and he's working on your conscience. That's why Hebrews 9:14 says this, how much more then will the blood of Christ, watch this, who through the eternal spirit, see there's the blood and the spirit, offered himself unblemished to God, watch this, cleanse your conscience from acts that lead to death so that we may serve a living God. When you got saved, something happened in you, you never knew it before, but all of a sudden the things you used to do in sin, you didn't want to do them anymore. The desire might have kept trying to come back, but you knew you didn't want to do them anymore because the blood and the spirit set you free. Your soulish realm, your conscience was transformed in that moment. And then God says, I want to work on your mind. What's your mind? That is what I allow through my eye gate and my ear gate, my thoughts that I allow to enter in. Watch this. Romans 12:2 says, Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person. So that means there's something happening. There's a process. There's a pathway. Let him make you into a new person by changing what? Everybody say the next three words. The way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So God says, I want your heart, your inward affections, that devotion. Then I work on your conscience, and you knew there was things that changed in your life. You didn't quite understand, but you just knew, God, you set me free from that. And he says, and my last place, my possession, is to start working on your thoughts, daily working on the way you think to change you into that new person. See, here's what I've discovered is that your mind controls your body and your will controls your mind. Your mind controls your body, but your will controls your mind. So when people want to overcome certain things, even Christians who want to overcome addictions or things they know God wants out of their life, what they say is, I need more willpower. Or the world says that. I need more willpower. I need another Tony Robbins video. Give me something positive. Give me a daily affirmation. I just need more willpower. And I'm not dissing willpower, but have you noticed when you did it, you kept on failing? I just need willpower. I just need willpower to overcome this pornography. I just need willpower. But did you notice you kept failing? Or you might still be failing. You're just failing. Why? Because whenever your will is not surrendered to the will of God, his power cannot work through you. Listen closely. Only when you yield your will to God's will, then and only then does his power give you the willpower and the won't power. So how do I do that? My communication, my affection through talking to him and then stop and allowing him to impress me and listen, and through the power of his word, through that worship and that word, you are actually surrendering your will to God's will that then gives his power attached to your will to give you the willpower and the won't power to stop doing what you're doing. But if you're going to keep leaning on your willpower, I'm going to tell you, you'll be back again and feeling so guilty, and then Satan puts condemnation on you that you're just a big loser. Get out of this Christianity thing because you can't make it. So when you see the word, just stay with me for a moment. God's heart, soul, mind. Heart, soul, mind. When you see the word salvation, how many are saved? Raise your hands, saved, okay? Can I tell you, when you use the word salvation, it implies more than just the moment that you might have come to an altar at a Billy Graham crusade 36 years ago at the sound of Just As I Am without one plea. Jesus, I give you my heart, my life. The word salvation, when you see it in the Greek, implies so much more than just the moment when you got born again 2 weeks ago. In fact, the word salvation in the Greek is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O, sozo, which literally means, this is what it really means, I am saved, I gave my heart to Jesus. It means I am saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. That's what it means. It literally means I've been saved, born again. God is saving me or working and saving areas in my life. And I am saved when I eternally stand before Jesus for eternity. He's got that prepared for me. How many thank God that he's got yesterday, today, and forever covered for you already? So this is where you get that when you give your heart to the Lord, you are regenerated by the Spirit of God. You are being saved. He starts changing that conscience, your conscience, where you start saying, wait a minute, I don't think I should be doing that anymore. You are being saved, and he takes your mind. He is changing you into that image more and more like Jesus Christ. So now, here's my point. The pathway of possession. Heart, soul, mind. Now, let me ask you about Satan. Does Satan do everything exactly like God? No. He tries to act like God, but he doesn't do things like God. Satan does everything backwards of God. Eve says, we can't eat this fruit. Satan says, oh, yes, you can. She says, we'll die. He says, no, you won't. He says, God says yes to this. Oh, no, God really didn't let you have everything. No. If God says it's up, he says it's down. He is the antithesis of God. That is the reason why in the last days, he will not be called Christ. He will be called the Antichrist. Even in Satanism, they don't put the cross upright like we got them there. They got them upside down. Everything is done backwards of God. It is absolute rebellion. So stay with me for a moment. If God's order of possession for you, sir, is heart, soul, and mind, then it stands to reason that Satan is not going to go for your heart when you say, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus. That's not where he's starting. That is not where he's starting. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've never put a bottle of liquor to my lips. Nicotine has never touched these lips. I'll tell you what, I've never been to a movie theater. Boy, I'm so mad they closed Blockbuster. But now Netflix allows me to watch the stuff I really want to watch. But I want to tell you, I'm a believer. I tell you, nicotine's, I've never broke a deck of Uno cards in my life. He's not going for that level of consciousness of even some legalism you're in. Let me tell you where he's going to go. He's not going there. And you know how you know that you are in that? You are judging everybody else who you think ought to be where you are. You're judging them. You need to be more like us, when in fact your heart should break for them because you know where it's taking them. Because you get more devoted to God, you have a deeper compassion for people and where their bondage is. How are we doing this morning? I know we're not bucking and snorting and throwing psalm books, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's in this. So where is Satan going to start? You ready for this? He's going to start the last place where the Holy Spirit keeps doing his finished work. He's going to start with your mind. What you think, all your thoughts. So when you play the kind of music that is anti the word of God, I'm not going to be some little Pentecostal policeman, some little holy hitman saying you can't, these things can't do this. Let me just say something. When the Holy Spirit starts talking, you say, well, I don't listen to the words. Oh, yes, you do. Well, it's just a movie. Oh, no, it's not. Everything you let in your eye gate and your ear gate is influencing your way of thinking. Yep. Do not be deluded to disagree with that. That's right. Yeah. Because that's where the enemy's starting. Well, it's no big deal. Oh, yes, it is. Yep. Who I allow, I don't even care if they're Christian, who I allow to speak into my life is extremely important. There are some people I will not allow to speak into my life, and some of them can speak in tongues. Yep. Because I know it affects my way of thinking. Some of you going, you're too busy thinking, is it me? So stodgy. And then what he does, he goes from the way you think, sir, watch this. You remember when you were first born again? And there were just things you said, man, I do not want that in my life. Have you noticed you're now allowing it into your life? Why is it when I was raised in church, that those of us who were raised in church, we have been set free from things, but we want to try to find something scripturally to justify as close as we can get to doing something that may be questionable. We want to get as close as we can. And I know believers are always taking up social drinking. Don't send me your email, I won't read it. I'm not telling people are going to hell because of it, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a principle of leadership in who I influence that I refuse to do it. Just because I'm more worried about your kid watching this man. It's a principle of leadership for me. Has nothing to do about theology. Just don't give me the theology of it. It's the principle of influence and leadership because I know people are following me. And I know it could take them somewhere where other people think I'm strong enough, they can't handle it. So I just don't do it. I don't do it privately. I don't do it on vacation when I'm not with y'all. I don't do it. I don't do it privately with my wife. I just don't do it. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's not, you know, it's gonna be good preaching or not good preaching. It doesn't make any difference. It's just a decision I already made. So you're not gonna influence me to change what this is me. It's just me. I'm not telling you shouldn't do it. I'm just telling you, it's just me. It's just my approach to it. It's a principle of leadership. An influence. That's all it is for me, purely. But your conscience, the things that you used to go, man, I used to be, now we're trying to see as close as we can get. And the longer you're serving God, the more you'll do it. Take my word for it. Because I've been serving a long time. And I'm telling you, he's tried to do with me. And sometimes I've sucked into his lie, only discovered this is a lie. And then he goes for the final thing he really, really wants. Is your pure devotion to Christ, your inward affections. He wants your heart. And you know what? We can say, well, I'd never do that, but I can tell you and I can bring a list. Young people, you can bring a list of kids you used to know that'll be crying at the altar with you, telling God touched you, and they're not even serving God today. Some of you can talk about people that you know that used to be so surrendered to Jesus Christ, and you cannot believe how the enemy's taken them away. I'm telling you, he says, this is why. The guy who's not afraid to get his head chopped off, been beat 3 times or a lot, left at the city for dead, incarcerated in prisons, beaten and whipped. This is the reason why I invoke the word, I'm afraid, because I'm afraid they don't see it when it's actually happening. Wow. How are we doing, everybody? Okay, this is pretty heavy stuff. Everybody, let's take a big deep breath together because it's just wearing me out. That's what it looked like. I wore a jogging suit this morning because I'm. Okay, so what is Satan doing? So this is now where, watch this. This is what he just doesn't want, is this pathway. This is, I'm showing the pathway of possession, but here's what begins to happen. Then what happens is you start this pathway toward possession. It moves into a progression toward a prison. And remember, I'm not talking to unbelievers, but it can affect unbelievers, but I'm talking to you and me, the believers. So I'm talking to us. There's what I call a stronghold cycle, which is a prison that he doesn't just throw you in. It is something you progress into. In fact, you don't even unlock the door. Some of us just open it up and we just slowly walk into it. It is a stronghold cycle. It's where the mind is where Satan begins to build that stronghold control over a believer and even an unbeliever. So let me show you what a stronghold cycle looks like, okay? Just to be real short, watch this. Here's a stronghold cycle. So remember, it's about, first of all, he's gonna go for the mind. So here's what happened. The thoughts then lead to the desire. The desire. Then the desire, if it's not brought into control, leads to an action. And then you do it. And then all of a sudden, the appetite for more occurs. What just happens with believers, then the actions actually lead to a stronghold where now it can grip the entire family, can grip you, and even progress to other people that you influence, because it's really about how you lead. It takes others. So where do we get that? James chapter 1 verse 13. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. God's never tempted me or you when we've gone to the action. But look what it says. Watch it. Here he is. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, here's what Satan really wants. It gives birth to death. What his real process is to take eventually me away from just this a devotion to follow Jesus and love him, just be devoted to him, and get me in the pitfall of the thoughts that I will not manage, which leads to my desires. My desires lead to the action, and the action leads to a stronghold, but its ultimate end is spiritual and eternal spiritual death and brokenness. And that, my friend, is the ultimate prison. You think of immortality? That's what hell is. It's living forever with the most sadistic people who never repented from God, and the sin intensifies and you never escape it. Heaven is eternity, immortality, in the presence of God with God's people who overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony following Jesus Christ. Now I'm coming in for a landing. I'm already at point three. Can you believe it? So, Pastor, as a believer, if I'm finding myself in any part of the cycle of this, is there power for me? Just willpower will not do it for me. I have to surrender my will to that devotion of just, God, I need help. I can't do this. And I start surrendering to the simplicity of just being with him, talking to him. And then when I actually open the word, I'm really, what do you got to say to me? There's power to prevail, everyone. Now, let me show you. God wants to deliver you and then give you power to dominate that which is dominating you as a Jesus follower. Look at Philippians here. Look at words of Paul. These are the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit. So just stay with me, everybody. It keeps getting better and better and better. Look at verse 8. He says, fix your what? And let's say that word together, everybody. Fix your what? What you're thinking on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. What's the next word? Think. He doesn't say go to church. He says think. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. See, he knew that it's about leadership. What am I doing? What am I seeing? What am I learning? Then the God of peace will be with you. God of peace. If you want to overcome the sins of the flesh or a stronghold, you need to change your mind. The key to controlling your mind is not trying not to think bad thoughts. I just gotta think, stop thinking these bad thoughts. That is not the key. Just stop it. That's not the key. Because when you do that, Satan's just gonna condemn you and condemn you. Your heart's gonna condemn you every time. The key is not to stop trying to think bad thoughts. The key is to consistently start putting in the right information. Did you hear what I said? Just keep, that thought may come back. Just keep going to the right information, even though that's still there trying to dominate you. Let me show you Mark chapter 4. Look at the words of Jesus. I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible. That means you turn up the volume to full blast. It says, and he said to them, Jesus, be careful what you are hearing or reading. The measure of thought and study, you put it to whatever, think of whatever you're going through right now. Whatever challenge you're facing right now, put it to this. He says, if you're going to think and study that stuff more, you give to the truth you hear, you will be the measure of the virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you that hear. So whatever you're given all your focus to, he says, you're not only going to get that back, but you're going to get more than that. And that works for the negative and the trash and also the word of God that you put in you. So it's not trying to get rid of all the bad thoughts or all the images or all the imagination. What it is now I got to grab a hold of the right information and keep going to that. If I put a picture of an elephant in front of you, you're going to think of elephants. But if I take the elephant away and give you a giraffe, all you're going to think about is a giraffe. It's not about trying to stop thinking something else. It's about putting more of the right stuff in because you're not only get that back, you're going to get more besides. So what are you getting more besides of? Are you getting more fear, more anxiety, more panic? Are you getting more thoughts that are of immorality? Because that's what he says it's going to keep adding. So here's the deal. He said, don't try to stop thinking the bad stuff. Start putting more right stuff in until you drive the other stuff up. You're not thinking about elephants. You're thinking about giraffes. Stay with me, everybody. I'm going somewhere. The reality is you cannot change what you are. I just want to change who I am. You can't change what you are until you change what you do. And you cannot change what you do until you change your information. I wish I could stop this. Change your information. And you cannot change your information until you change your environment. This is the reason why we have Celebrate Recovery. Because we have a lot of Jesus followers who the devil is just pulverizing and beating up with condemnation. No matter what their hang up is, their hurt, their habit. That's the reason I'm gonna encourage anybody that needs that, do not, if you wanna change it, just change the environment. It's still there, just change the environment. Change the environment. Keep coming to church, I tell you, just stay with us every Sunday for a year and watch God transform you, change it. Just watch it, it'll change it, because you're changing out information. You're starting to believe, I really am somebody in Jesus Christ. I really am born again. Show up. Go to Celebrate Recovery. They're in person now at the Life Center, 2244th Street, the building right across the way over here. Go to it, 7 p.m. Just pull up in the parking lot. There'll be somebody with this big old cheesy grin on their face. Just show up and they'll say, come on, let's overcome. Will you be willing to take the step just to simply change the environment and watch the rest of it transform? The Apostle Paul understood this. So in the book of Philippians, Paul understood the psyche just as much he understood the spirit. Christians aren't stupid. This man was brilliant in the Holy Spirit. Brilliant. The Apostle Paul understood the power of what you think. Just in four chapters, Philippians is only four chapters, do you know that he made eight references to the mind? Eight times he said mind, three times he said the word think, and one time he said the word remember. 12 times in less than, in four chapters, he is saying, you have got to decide, I'm gonna start putting the right stuff in and watch it start driving out the bad stuff. How many of you have ever been delivered from something, set free from something? Oh my, how many of you have ever had instantly, I mean, it just went away, boom, it's gone. How many of you ever had that? Okay, now I'm gonna ask a real honest question, and I'm not gonna kick you out of the church. In fact, it would really help a lot of people if you'd be honest. How many of you, after you served Jesus Christ, you had a lingering stronghold, a prison that you had, but it took a process of time for you to get out of it? Hold your hand up real high. Hold your hand up real high. Just leave it up there. I want every struggling, condemned person who feels like I'm not worthy, if they ever knew, I want you to look at the hands of the same people who had instantaneous stuff, but there was some stuff that they were saved, they were being saved, and they will be saved. You can put your hands down. Don't you see that? Because what's happening is that some of y'all, what's happening is that you've been hearing lots of testimonies, and they're good. Let me tell you something, man. I went to the altar, and man, I'd been bound by drugs, and man, they prayed for me, and man, I never touched a joint again. You're going, that's what I want. You came up here, and you wanted to light another one once you got in the car when you're by yourself. Man, I just don't want this alcohol to dominate me anymore. I got set free the moment. Man, I never wanted to taste liquor again. Some people that happened to. Somebody say amen to that. That happened to you. Same with pornography. That happened to some folks. But I'm going to tell you just a moment ago, you saw more hands of people that were set free by progression of God working in their life by putting the right stuff in than all of a sudden just flipping the switch, instantaneous deliverance. And that's what Satan didn't want you to see. You know what that's like? That's like me coming up here saying, I love the praise and worship. Oh, how many of you just wish you could sing and play like them? Because everybody gets moved and everybody's crying and you're crying and you're being moved by the Holy Spirit. And you're just going, oh, if I could just play the piano like Brother Langston. If I could just play like him. And I cannot tell you how many times I have walked up to a piano and thought, Lord, stay with me. just want to play the piano so I can lead people in worship because I've been so moved by your spirit. And people play pianos. God, you know I'm sincere and I'm crying. I'm crying. And I want to play the piano for your glory. So Lord, help me to instantaneously play this piano that seems to control me and I can't control it. I can feel it. Yes, yes, Lord, I feel the hibby-jibbies. I do. I feel them right now coming down. Yep. That's it. Yes, I'm going to do it. Here we go. Obedience. I'm going to play just like Langston, who plays every Sunday morning. Lord, I'm coming to the altar again. I'm crying. I'm sincere. Don't you love me? I want to instantly play the piano. Yeah, I got it. Oh, God, just forget it. Just forget it. Just forget it. Just forget it, God. Just forget it. Just forget it. You don't love me, do you? You don't love me. You heard that other guy's testimony. You don't love me. You just don't love me. Forget it. I'm gonna stop going to youth group. Then you feel condemned because you go to your small group and you're with this hang up, so Satan says you didn't get it. Lord, I want to play just like Langston. I want to conquer that which is my flesh can't conquer. Then the Lord hits me with this revelation. You want to play like Langston? Yes, Lord. Then take lessons, dummy. Take lessons. What? What? You want me to go to Celebrate Recovery every Tuesday at 7 o'clock? You want me to go to church? Oh, that's just like organized religion. Want me to show up every time? You want me to go on the grow track after this service at 12 o'clock to start fine? Yes. Because the reason why Langston's flesh can dominate that which dominates you is because his mama probably made him sit at a piano when he went to go out and play with his friends and said, oh, no, you're not. I paid good money for them lessons, and you're going to sit right there. He wasn't out with his buddies. He wasn't down playing video games. He was up there taking his mind, training his mind, started with chopsticks. Then moved to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Stars. And just kept progressing. Because his mind is what had to be dealt with to dominate his flesh so he could dominate that which mocked his flesh. I'm not telling you it's just mind over matter, because when you it's about surrendering your will to God. Say, Lord, really there is something to your word. There really is something to praise and worship. There really is something to give myself to fellowship with other Christians that encourage me. There really is something when someone holds me accountable when they see the enemy coming at me. There really is something to that. Yeah, there really is something to it. It's going to a piano teacher and says, no, you're not doing that right. Do it this way. And then your mind starts showing your fingers. And your flesh starts being controlled by what you gave your mind to. And then you're playing chopsticks and Twinkle, Twinkle and Beethoven's Fifth or whatever. I don't know. Are you following me? because now you're surrendering your will to the teacher, the Holy Spirit, and the Word. And when you take His power through the Word, and you're saying, I give myself to simple devotion, not legalism, simple devotion, God, of praying and listening to you, taking your word. I just want to know you. His power gets into your will, and you'll start having the willpower and the won't power. And let me tell you why. See, we mock right now, but I could play this piano like Langston today. I really could. I really could today. Did you notice the worship team came up when I started playing? Are you all expecting big things today from me? So what we could do is have a surgery. Bring in a neurosurgeon, and we're going to cut the top of Langston's cranium, and then we're going to cut the top of mine. And then we're going to take Langston's brain out and take my brain out, and we'll put my brain inside of Langston, and he's going to love rice for the rest of his life because I love rice. Because he's got the mind of the guy who could eat Chinese food, Asian food, Vietnamese food 24/7. He could eat for breakfast, lunch, and supper. Because now he has the appetites and the desires of the guy who was raised on that stuff. And then I'm going to take the mind of one who's sat with a teacher and the authority of a parent saying, you're going to practice today. I want you to learn. Go put yourself aside in a room and practice. And now I have the mind of the guy who's disciplined what he thought. And now I have that mind. So he's going to be eating Asian food the rest of his life. And I'm going to learn how to play piano and lead in praise and worship. And that's why Paul said these words. You don't think it can happen for you, sir, ma'am. You don't think it can happen for you. But I'm telling you, when you surrender your will to him by just simple, pure devotion, just loving God and getting in there. Can I tell you what happens? This is why Paul says, Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What the Holy Spirit does is he's really taking the mind of Jesus and he's doing a brain transplant of the things of Jesus through the word in you, and you start overcoming like you never ever came before. We're overcomplicating this, but it all starts with what we're allowing in. And it wasn't to unbelievers, it was to you and me. I'm not just talking about addictions. You may be going through stuff right now, financially, physically, maritally, everything. You better start putting the right information in. You can't change everything in the marriage like this, but you can start putting the right information in. And watch you start growing. Watch God retrain you to the point where you can be presented as a pure virgin before God. That's how transformational the power of Jesus Christ and His Word is. Woo! How many glad you came to the house of God today? Amen. Come on. Amen.